We are going to continue in our studies on Christ, on what Christ has done for us, especially looking at the atonement. We are going to see His active obedience of Christ. Now, this is another way to look on the cross what Christ has done. And all these things are essential. We cannot kind of separate each one of these subjects. They all go together in the whole life of Christ since He was born until He died and rose from the dead. So that's what we are going to study today. Now, active obedience of Christ. I try my best to give a good picture here. It's a theological word. Active obedience of Christ, especially when we talk about the active obedience of Christ, it relates to the law of God, how Christ came and fulfilled all the requirements of the law, how He was obedient to all the requirements of the law. We are going to see how that really relates to our salvation, especially when it comes to eternal life. You will not hear this kind of preaching from a dispensationalist point of view. Only from a reform perspective you will see this. The one thing we need to go back to the beginning, and we need to see that in Genesis chapter 2, how God gave a commandment to Adam. Adam was in a probationary period because God gave a commandment, Genesis 2:16. This commandment was that out of all the trees you can eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. This is a commandment that was given to Adam. Theologians call this the covenant of works. This is where obedience is required from Adam. Okay? So here, God gives a commandment, and what is required of the commandment is what? Obedience. Now, if Adam obeyed the commandment and he was able to fulfill it, then what will he have? He will have eternal life. He will not die. Now, obedience is always required from the lesser to the superior, right? It's the superior that we have to obey. It's the lesser that we have to, we are the lesser and we have to obey the superior. And here the superior is God and the lesser is Adam. Even if our everyday life we will see this, how the children are the lesser, have to obey the superior, the parents. Even in your job, you are the lesser, you have to obey your boss. We are the lesser on the road, we have to obey the policeman, the magistrate, the government. So even in our daily life, we have to see how there is obedience that is being required. And if you break, if you are disobeyed, what will happen? Even in daily life, there will be punishment imposed. And here, obedience is required. God gave a law to Adam. But of course, we know the story. Adam failed. He sinned against God. When I say he failed, he broke the law. He violated the law of God. And that's where sin entered into the whole race. But even though when we see that later to the Israelites, God gave the law to the Israelites. Now, whenever God gives a law, this is after the fall, He gives the law to the sinners, because 1 Timothy chapter 9 verse 10 says, the law is given not to the righteous people, but to 1 Timothy 1:9 and 10, knowing that The law is not made the righteous person, but for the lawless and subordinates, for the ungodly, for sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers and fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, sodomites, kidnappers, for liars. And you can see the law is given to the unrighteous people. And here what happened was, when Adam sinned, the whole humanity sinned in Adam, and then God gives a law to the Israelites. Now Israelites were sinners because the law was given to the sinners. And here, when the law was given to the Israelites, God gave the law, and what was the requirement? Obedience again. Now, if God said, I want you to obey all of this law, and if they can keep all of the law, of course, they can gain eternal life. But of course, they cannot. I'm going to show you this. Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 18, verse 5. Leviticus 18, 5. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. I am the Lord. Now, God says, you shall keep all these things, and if a man does it, he will live. Now turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 20, 11. And it says here, and I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. See verse 13, yet the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not walk in my statutes. They despised my judgment. But which if a man does, he shall live by them. Then see verse 21. Notwithstanding the children rebelled against me, they did not walk in my statutes and were not careful to observe my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. Now turn with me to Matthew 19 for us to see this in the New Testament. Which I say, if you keep all of the law, if you are obedient to every single of the law, you can have eternal life. You can gain righteousness. Matthew 19. And Jesus said, here came a man. Behold, one came and said to Jesus, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have what? Eternal life. Now, what did Jesus say? He said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into eternal life, keep the commandments. You see what I'm saying here now? If you keep all of the law, every single bit of the law, you can have eternal life. Romans chapter 10, verse 5. Romans 10, 5. Apostle Paul said, for Moses writes about this righteousness which is of the law. The man does those things and shall live by them. And here we see, I'm going to show you why is this active obedience of Christ so important to salvation. Now, if Christ came, if Christ died only for the penalty of sin, then we would be forgiven. But we will not have any righteousness. You understand what I'm saying? If Christ died only, if he paid the penalty only for our sins, then we will come back to zero in a sense. Our sins will be forgiven, but we will not have any righteousness to enter into eternal life, to be with God, because God is a righteous God. He is positive. He is a righteous God. And for us to be with God, we cannot be just sins forgiven. We need to have a righteousness as a righteousness that is equal to God. Now, the only way that we can have this righteousness is that we need to be obedient to all His requirements. Everything what He has given to obey us, all these laws, okay, the laws, the ceremonial laws, the moral laws, everything that is in the Bible, we need to obey them 100%. If we do that, then we will have what? A righteousness. We are right. We pass. But we know we fail. Because we are born sinners. In Adam, we can never fulfill the law. So the law was given for us to obey, just to show us that we can't. In a way that we are unable to fulfill the law, and we need to, what does the law do? It will show us that we are sinners. We are miserable, that we cannot do it on our own, that the law will rip, it will rip our self-righteousness and show open how unworthy, how vile we are. It will show us that we are sinners, and it will bring us humility. Then we will cry out, "Oh God, help me," and God brings us a Savior, Jesus Christ, who have obeyed the law. That's why active obedience of Christ is so important. We need to become righteousness to gain eternal life. And to have righteousness, you need to obey the law. It's obedience that is counts. Adam couldn't do it. Israelites couldn't do it. And of course, we can do it. That's why Christ came, and He is called the second Adam. He came to fulfill the law, but not to break the law. Matthew 5:17. Now if you see, there are similarities between Christ, the first Adam, and the second Adam. Both were without sin. Right? First Adam and Christ both were without sin. And both were tempted by Satan. We saw that in our last sermon. Adam was tempted in the garden, in a paradise. Christ was tempted in the wilderness. And both were representatives. They were both were heads. If you turn with me to Romans chapter 5, Romans 5:12-21, verse 12 says, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sin." See verse 19. "For as one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made what now? Righteous." That's the topic. That's what we are talking. Obedience, righteousness, eternal life. One man's sin, many were made sinners. Right? We are talking two heads. One man's obedience, many were made righteous. Adam was a head. And also Christ is ahead for His people. Christ's obedience brought righteousness. Now let's go to Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. Galatians 4:4. "But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born what? Under the law." Christ was born under the law. It means He was born under the civil law. He was born under the judicial law. He was born under the ceremonial law. He was born under the moral law. Why was he born under the law? Why? How, if you are born under the law, you have to obey the law. If somebody gives a law, you are under the law. What's the reason? You have to obey the law. Romans chapter 8 verse 3. Romans 8:3 says, "For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh," that means in the likeness of a man, "on account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit." God sent His Son. Why? So the righteous requirements of the law will be fulfilled. Adam couldn't do it. But somebody has to do it. Because Adam was our representative in where the whole humanity is concerned. Adam was our representative. In Adam, our representative failed. There's no way that we can gain eternal life unless God gives us what? Grace, right? Yeah. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5 again. Unless God gives us grace. Romans chapter 5, verse 15, starting from 14. "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even those who had not sinned according to likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come." See verse 15. "But the free gift is not like that the offense, but for if by the one man's offense many died, much more what? The grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man Jesus Christ abounded to many." Here comes grace. We don't deserve it. But God sends His Son for undeserved sinners. That's grace. And Christ comes. And what does Christ do? He was born under the law. Under all of the law. Why? We had to obey all of His laws. Adam couldn't do it. Now Christ comes and He is going to obey all of the law. So what is active obedience? Active obedience of Christ means that His perfect obedience to the law of God, and He came as our representative by His works of obedience alone, sinner can have eternal life. His works of obedience alone. The believing sinner now can have eternal life. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Wow. So Christ, He was the elect servant of God. This was already planned. Pre-planned by God, by the Godhead. And here in the Old Testament, Isaiah 42:1 says that He was the elect servant of God. Isaiah 42:1. "Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights." Wow. Remember, God's soul, He says, "My soul delights on the elect one." Remember when Jesus came and at the baptism, how God the Father was delighted and He said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased." And we saw His amazing humility of obedience in Philippians chapter 2. And even we saw that His position was brought from, although He is fully God, His position was brought to the very lowest form of a servant. Wow. Why did he become a servant? He had to obey the superior. Adam couldn't do it. Nobody couldn't do it. You had only the servant has to fulfill the commands of the master. That's why he was brought down as a suffering servant. And we know in John chapter 14 verse 28, Jesus said, "You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you will rejoice because I said, I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I." Now, of course, we know that the Jehovah's Witnesses love to take this portion of Scripture and show that Jesus is not God. But of course, we know that the Greek word is meson. It literally means that Jesus is not saying, I am better than the Father. But he is talking, his position is low here, as a servant. The law requires obedience. It has to be fulfilled. And obedience has to do with not with the lesser's will, but with the superior's will. Understand? It has to be the superior's will. Let me give you an example. If a parent gives a child, one of his children, $1,000 and tells the son or the daughter, this is my will of this $1,000, that you will go to school, this is for your tuition fees, for your rent and your food and for your studies and all the requirements for you to go to school and to study and for your rent and so forth like that. That's my will. But the child goes for and uses the money on his will or her will for entertainment, for drugs, for pleasure. So we see the child has broken the will of the parent, has disobeyed the parent. But that's just an example to do. When Christ came, he came to do the will of the Father. The will of the Father is what? To be obedient to the law and all the requirements of the law. If you remember, even at Garden of God, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Christ, how his whole soul was burdened, and as he was praying, you know, the cross is in front of him, and how he said, "Oh, let this cup pass away." Then he said, "Not my will be done, but thine will be done." He came to do the will of the Father. John chapter 5, verse 30. Jesus said, "I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." Father sent the Son on a mission to seek and to save those who were lost. But this mission, this is a mission that Christ has to do. But this mission was not a burden for him. But it was a delight for Christ to fulfill this mission. Return with me to Psalm chapter 40. Psalm 47. "Then I said, behold, I come in the scroll of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart." So when he came, he was born in a manger, but he was delighted to be born in a manger. As soon as he was born, his whole mission was submission to the Father. And it was a delight to be submitted to the Father. And it was whole mission. There was so many trials, tribulations, and the religious leaders were persecuting him. But he was delight to do the will of the Father. At the same time, you will see Christ's whole life. He didn't even have a lay to lay his head. Foxes have holes, the birds have nests, but Son of Man doesn't have a place to lay his head. But he was delighted to do the will of the Father. And you can see that Christ, his whole time on this earth, it was doing the will of the Father, and it was a delight for him. If you remember in John chapter 4 verse 34, the disciples, here the disciples went to get something to eat, and when they came in verse 31, in the meantime his disciples urged him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." And he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him food, anything to eat?" Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Wow. I mean, he was delighted that he was not even considering his physical food when it came to when one sinner repents, the angels in heaven repents, and here the Samaritan woman is repentant of her sin, and we see that Christ is delighted, he's joyous, excited to do the will of the Father. John chapter 9 verse 4. Work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. Wow. I'll tell you, many of us are Christians here in this fellowship, and we is your ministry, what you are doing, is it a burden for you? And you come here as a burden. I got to do this now. I got to go to church. Is it a burden for you to get up in the morning and come to, you know, go through the freeway and, you know, all the cars and so forth like that, and just come here and sit and listen? Is it a burden or is it a delight? If somebody is giving, I'll tell you, let me give an example. If somebody is giving $5,000, but you had to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, I'll tell you, people will be there from 2 o'clock in the morning together. Let me tell you, God's work is better than that. That's what Jesus was telling the Samaritan to the disciples. Of course he was hungry, but he was overjoyed when one person repents. And he said, "You don't know my food. My food is to do the work of him who sent me. It's a delight to serve God. It's a delight to be here. It's a delight to hear the word." That is Christianity. That's what Jesus did. He didn't give us a religion that we would be all go into the jungle and be like hermits. No. He gave us joy in our salvation. So Christ came to do the will of God. He was obedient to the Father. He was obedient to his parents. Luke chapter 3 verse 49. We can see his obedience from the very beginning. Luke chapter 3:49. Remember how Jesus was in the temple, and his mother and father, they were looking for him. They couldn't find him. At the end, when they found him, Luke chapter 2:49, he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you know that I must be about my Father's business?" From the very beginning, since he was small, he was in his father's business. Then verse 50 says, "But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and was subject to them." He was subject to Mary and Joseph. He was obedient to the parents, because one of the requirements of the law is what? Obey your father and mother. And he was obedient to the civil laws, the laws of the government. Matthew chapter 22 verse 17. Tell us therefore, and here comes some of the Pharisees trying to trap him, and says, tell us therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me the tax money. So they brought him a denarius. And he said to them, whose image and inscription is this? They said, Caesar's. And he said to them, render therefore to Caesar's the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Were subject to the laws of the government at that time. He didn't come to have a revolt and throw the government away. Of course not. The kingdom of God is spiritual, isn't it? It's nothing that you see. And he was made under the ceremonial law. And we know that he was circumcised on the eighth day as the law required. He was presented at the temple for ceremonial laws that was required by God. He kept all of them, the Pentecost and so forth like that. The feast of the tabernacles, everything was kept by Christ. Also, he was made under the moral law. He was made under the moral law. And he was tempted like any of us. The Bible says he was tempted in all directions, but he never sinned. He kept all the moral law. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 8 says, he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Though he was a son, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Now, Christ was, because he fulfilled all of the law where Adam couldn't fulfill, Christ was called, he became righteous. He was righteous. Now, another example is, turn with me to James 1, okay, verse 14. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desires has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Now, in this, I'm trying to show this from this scripture that Jesus never sinned, was never born in sin, yet also in his life he never sinned because he obeyed all the requirements of the law and he was righteous. And he was the only one who was righteous. Not Adam, or not Moses, not Abraham. Everybody died. Why did they die? Because they sinned. James very clearly shows that, right? Sin brings death. Wages of sin is what? Death. So here Christ never sinned. So if he did not sin, he cannot really die. Unless he offered himself voluntarily, he's dead. That's what he did, right? He cannot die. Absolutely can. Because he was righteous. Unless he voluntarily gives his death, gives his life as a sacrifice. Now, that's what he did, right? He gave his life as a sacrifice. Now, still, the death couldn't hold him. He has to rise back again. Because why? He was righteous. Isn't this amazing? Isn't this neat? Wow. Now, let me show you now. Christ was righteous. Because Christ was righteous, now the believing sinner, Christ's righteousness is imputed to us. Wow, that is mind-boggling. Not only our sins are forgiven, for the believing sinner, Christ's righteousness that we broke. Oh, what about you and I? Broken the law? Yes. Huh? Just imagine where you came from, where I come from. Huh? See the things that you have done. We have broken the law in action, in our mind, in words, in everything, with all these instruments. But God has given us the brain and everything. We have used all the instruments for wickedness, right? But just imagine, by faith we come to Christ. When the believing sinner comes and he repents and asks for forgiveness and asks for mercy, and God's grace falls upon him, and not only he's forgiven, but God imputes his righteousness to the believing sinner. Now the believing sinner, not only that we are righteous, that we, when we die, we cannot stay in the grave either, because we are righteous. That's why there's a resurrection of the righteous. Right? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become, what now? The righteous of God in him. Wow. To have eternal life, you need to have righteousness. That's the basic message here. You need to have righteousness. With eternal life, to attain eternal life, you have to have righteousness. Without the righteousness, you cannot have eternal life. And you don't hear on the dispensationalist view on this. You don't hear that. For you, what you will hear is Christ died for you, now you can go to heaven. He gave you eternal life. But they don't go deep into the subject and show you that it is what is needed is obedience, the righteousness of God that needs eternal life. That's why the scriptures are so important. Now, Romans chapter 4, verse 22. Romans 4, 22. And it says here, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. This is for Abraham. Now verse 23 says, now it was not written for his sake alone, that so Abraham, that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses, and was raised because of our justification. And here, righteousness is imputed for us too. Wow. Now, to the true Christian, we are called to obey Christ. Now, for us to obey Christ is not to gain eternal life, but as a result of what Christ did for us. You understand? Christ told many times that we need to obey him. Why do you obey him? It's not because we want to go to heaven. No. We cannot gain eternal life. Again, what Christ has done. We obey Christ for what he has done for us. As a result, why we love him? Because he first loved us. John chapter 14, verse 23. Jesus said, this is what he said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me, he does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all these things and bring to you your remembrance all things which I said to you. See, the practical side of this whole story is that if we truly love Christ for what he has done, for unworthy, miserable sinners like us, who has given us, not only he forgiven our sins, but also he gave us righteousness so we can have eternal life. See, we should be amazed for what he has done for us. Now, if he has done all these things, now we can gain, we can go to heaven by Christ's merit alone, by his works alone of obedience, we can go to heaven. How much more we should love him? How much more we should love him? How much more we should keep his word? That's what Jesus is saying. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Why? Because all what he has done. Now, if you don't keep his word, if a parent tells a child, I want you to obey, you know, these are things that I have done for you. I have sent you to school, I brought you food, I have clothed you, I have given all these things. And the children and the child is disobedient to the father and does just the opposite things. Take drugs, entertainment, doesn't listen. And no love for the parent. The same way, in a basic way, if you know what Christ has done, it's the knowledge that is very important. That's what we learned today. But the heart, it needs to go to your heart. And if you truly love him, how can you sin? How can you keep on sinning? The more you grow in Christ in the head, the more you grow in the heart. That's the whole message here. And how, just like Joseph, how can I do such an evil thing against God? I can't. Because that's, Joseph didn't know the imputation of righteousness, or he didn't know nothing about that. Didn't he? Of course not. But it was the grace of God that was given to him that shows that he had a fervent love for God. In the same way, we know the word. We know the word. We hear the word. And some of you are falling asleep. Because it's not here. And here, look, John chapter 14. Verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all these things and bring to your remembrance all the things that I said to you. That's a very key word. We miss that there because that's all in context with obedience to Jesus Christ, because it's the Holy Spirit that will bring us to remembrance. But I'll tell you, if you're in the flesh, the Holy Spirit will not bring you into remembrance. The Word of God. If you're living in flesh, the Holy Spirit will not bring into remembrance. You cannot meditate in the Word of God. You got to be in the Spirit. You got to walk in the Spirit. The sons of God, the children of God, they are not like the world. They don't walk according to the passions of the world. They don't conform to the patterns of the world. We don't do the things what the world do. We are separated. We are holy. We are different. As the Bible says, we are a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. A peculiar means there's a vast difference. That's what it says. Why? Because we love Christ. We keep his word by the grace of God. We want to strive to keep his word. That's the most important thing. But if you're living in the flesh, how can you remember the word of God? Because you have given yourself. You're not living according to the will of God. You're living according to your emotions, according to your feelings. My feeling is what? My flesh wants to do whatever sin. I want to please sin, right? That's what the flesh wants to do. How we need to crucify this flesh? Huh? Luke chapter 12, verse 37. Another example is, Jesus was obedient to the Father. He came to save, he came to serve him. And so we should be. We serve him because he set an example to us. Luke chapter 12, 37. Jesus said here, blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. And he should come in second watch or come in the third watch and find them. So blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would watch and not allow his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Means, we need to be doing the will of the Father as servants. Blessed are those who are servants of God. That's what he's saying here. Servants, what do the servants do? Serving the Master. That's what it is. Are you serving the Master today? Or are you just coming and listening and just going? I mean, are you just coming to listen to, you know, a sermon, then go on your own and do your own things? Or are you serving Him? Are you living for Him? John chapter 12:26, Jesus said, anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, my Father will honor. Wow. If you serve Christ, you're with Him. And the Father is going to honor you. And you follow Christ, then you're a servant. A servant follows the Master. A servant will not follow. If you follow Satan according to your flesh, then you're a servant of Satan. That's it, basically. You can't follow cannot follow two masters at the same time. You either follow the other one, God of this world, or you follow Jesus. That's it. How many Christians compromise, huh? Compromise. Compromise to sin, then later repent. Playing games with God. God is not mocked. Now let me tell you. Go back to the book of Revelation. Book of Revelation chapter 20. Starting from 11. And it says here. Let's go to verse 10. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire, brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, in whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, the small and the great, standing before God, and books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to what? According to their works, by the things which are written in the books. The sea gave up, the dead were in it, the dead and the Hades were delivered up, the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. God is going to judge everybody according to works. According to works. Adam was given a job, and it was his work that can attain obedience. But Adam couldn't do it. That's why Christ came. He did the works that was required by God. And He fulfilled the commandments and He attained righteousness. It was only the works of Christ. When the books are open, God is going to see whether you're in Christ or whether in yourself trying to do the works by yourself. And you need to have this righteousness of God to enter eternal life. If you don't have it, there is no eternal life. That's what it says here. You go to Hades, hell. But my message, that is to the ones who are not Christians. And if you are not a Christian, you need to repent. You need to repent and ask the Lord God, forgive me, I am a sinner. And realize that you have sinned against the Almighty God, and you deserve what? The wrath of God for what you have done. God is going to punish you in the lake of fire. That's what He says here. He's going to punish you in the lake of fire unless there is repentance. You need to realize that what? You deserve the wrath of God, but realize, God, help me. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go in hell and burn in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. Forgive me. I'm a miserable sinner. And ask God to pardon your sin and forgive you and His grace to fall upon you, so that you will see the truth, that you will embrace Christ, the righteousness. He's called the Son of Righteousness. And embrace Him. So through Christ, we can go to heaven. Christ's work for what He has done, and on Christ's merit alone, God will pardon you, and you can have eternal life. And this is the message of the gospel, and this is what God requires from everybody. He requires to fulfill all the law. Well, we couldn't, but Christ did. That's the message. Christ's active obedience. Active obedience of Christ. Active. What do you mean by active? It's not dead. It's always alive. Active. How about you? Are you active in the Lord? Are you kind of dead? Or sleepy? Wake up. The time is now. Wake up. Wake up. In the name of the Lord, wake up, because the night is coming, you can work. We have given such a lot of freedom in this country. There's so much freedom. And freedom for us, don't use the freedom to sin, but use the freedom to glorify God. Let's pray. Father, we praise You.